Spring is finally here, and that means a new season of Yes, We Are Open. This season, Al goes west. West to Calgary, Banff, and Canmore for more motivational stories of small business owners, their trials and triumphs. Settle in for 8 new weekly stories of perseverance over adversity. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, or get started at yesweareopenpodcast.com.
Hiring Al, good and you, not so bad. Squirrely Matt here. Whether you're just tuning in or you're revisiting old episodes, thank you for your incredible support of the Produce Stand podcast. That's what we appreciate about you. Now we have a small favor to ask. We're putting together some best of TPS episodes. That's where you come in. We want to hear from you. If you come across or have a favorite TPS clip, origin story, standout interview moment, or port near anything you deem to be wondrous, reach out through any of our socials and let us know. Now, we have a lot of content, so specify the episode and timestamp. Please and thank you. With that out of the way, let's get back to our regularly scheduled content. Bitter patter. When watching some universe is the plan, then a needle drop makes you say damn. Jay's ranking the tracks, the best tunes on wax, as the produce stand kicks out the jams.
That fresh produce stand there, that's a beauty.
What do you listen to?
My favorite murder podcast.
Taggart and Doran's podcast.
The produce stand.
Fucking sexy.
It's Thirsty Thursday, and that means we are once again hanging out at the produce stand, a podcast paying tribute to everything in the universe. Now, I know what you're thinking. There are many other Letterkenny podcasts out there, but this one is about to kick out the jams. I'm Al, your host, and joining me in the room, as always, is lovely Tanya. And not quite online yet, but he will join us soon, is Squirrely Matt. And Victor, he's still down in Minnickin on his vacation. I'm sure he'll have some McMurray-like stories when he comes back. So looking forward to having him back, hopefully next week. But joining us this week... he's born and raised in Edmonton, father of two, husband of one. He works at a truck body manufacturing plant, a diehard Oilers fan, and music lover. Please join me in making some noise for Jay.
Wondrous.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Wait.
Oh my god.
I regret nothing.
Welcome back to the Produce Stand, Jay.
Glad to be back, guys. Good to see you guys again.
Yes, and you know what? I'm so happy to have you here because the last time you were on, you may remember, I really botched your intro. And the reason why was because that same day, that morning, we had interviewed Jared Kiso.
Yeah.
And I was a little all over the place. And then when it came time for your episode that night, I dropped the ball and I apologized to you afterwards. So, and you were very gracious in accepting my apology, but I wanted to make sure this time I got your intro right.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. No, I can't blame you for being frazzled after that one.
Yeah, it was.
And you wouldn't been able to share that information either.
No, exactly. Yeah. No, that night I just sounded like an idiot and I could only apologize for it after the interview came out. So anyway, you're here and tonight's going to be an interesting episode because we've never done this before. So this is kind of a new concept for our podcast, but I do want to give a shout out, some props to the originator of this idea. So we're going to do a kick out the jam episode tonight. Everyone, you've heard me speak, about my buddy Toronto Mike, who's a Toronto podcaster, and he does a whole bunch of different things on his podcast. One of my favorite episodes that he does, types of episodes he does, is this Kick Out the Jams. Now he interviews a lot of people, and we get to know them from their interview. But sometimes for the Kick Out the Jam episodes, we get to know them even more because they're sharing the music that they like and talking about why they like it. And it's a very interesting episode. So that's what we're going to do, but with a Letterkenny spin here. We're going to have Jay. You've assembled your top 10 favorite songs from Letterkenny. from the whole series, seasons 1 through 12. And you're going to share that with us tonight. We're going to listen to the music. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to talk about it. We're just going to sit here and talk about it. Does that sound good to you?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
All right, cool. Well, first though, we should start with,
how are you now?
Tonight's lineup is going to be myself, Tanya, Matt, if he joins us in time, and Jay. So I start first. My week. Let's see. Last night. For the first time in 3 years, I got back together in a rehearsal studio with the Royal Pains. Now, those of you who don't know, I'm in a band right now called The Weekends. But before the pandemic, I had a couple of bands, and one of them, that I was in for almost 10 years, was called the Royal Pains, and we were a very busy band, and it was a lot of fun, and we played 3 or 4 times a month. It was probably too busy. And anyway, the pandemic happened, bars shut down, we couldn't play for a few years. And when things got back, I kind of made the call, and I said I didn't want to be that busy anymore. And the band, we also rehearsed down in the city, so it was far for me to go. And the band I'm in now, it's more local. Anyway, there's a bunch of different reasons why I called quits with that band. This past December, we got together and we broke bread. We had dinner together and we had a good time and reminisced, and we posted a picture online, and people got excited. Like, people who used to come see us play got really excited. And, so one of them offered us, to play at a private party if we would reunite. So that's what we did. Last night was our first practice after over 3 years, to get ready for this party that we're going to play. And I mean, most of us haven't stopped playing in other bands, but our bass player, Chris, he basically put his bass down and hasn't touched it in 3 years. So he's the one who's got to kind of do the most catching up. But last night it was like riding a bike. Let me tell you, it was almost like no time had passed. I think we sounded all right. Toronto Mike even dropped by because we were rehearsing in his neighborhood, and he heard us play our first song like in 3 years. I don't know how the others felt about that, but he even recorded it and posted it to Twitter. It was a nervous time, but anyway, it was great. A lot of fun, and fun, looking forward to a few more practices, and then to play this gig, to play a show in front of people again, is going to be with these guys. It's going to be pretty special. So looking forward to that. Yeah, that was my week. And of course, I'm busy with work and stuff, yada, yada. So that's my week. What about you?
For me, this week, I've been super busy. We've had some crazy weather lately, which has been causing lots of headaches and such. I'm starting to get my sense of smell back. So I lost my smell back in January. It was end of January. I lost my smell from COVID. And my taste. But over the last 3 days, I've just had this burnt smell, which is flashing me back to that old
I smell that burnt
commercial
toast.
Of burnt it toast. Yeah, I'm like, the Heritage is anyone minute. Else smelling something burnt? And everybody's like, no. So I have no idea where this sense of smell is coming from and why all of a sudden, because it's getting annoying, actually. and I'm getting nosebleed too. So I don't know. Tis the season. I don't know. It's spring. We had our helicopter out yesterday. We have a helicopter.
Not our helicopter.
No, we don't have a helicopter.
Every year around this time, the town sprays the area for mosquitoes. So a helicopter.
Well, it doesn't spray anymore. We're not ingesting chemicals.
No, it's the pellets.
Yeah. The pellets are dropped in our marsh that's nearby.
Yeah, because we live essentially in a marsh. Yeah.
Yeah, not a good location decision. But anyways, it's not as bad as what it sounds like it is. But yeah, we have quite the mosquitoes in that area. So it treats that and tries to you can't go back in that area at all.
The helicopter just hovers over the neighborhood like really, really low, like just grazing the treetops. It's really cool.
It's really actually very cool. Yeah. And how they do the bench, like how they go around, and yeah, it's interesting to watch. Anyway, so that was the fun attraction yesterday. Mike.
We're just been joined here. Our party's been crashed by somebody. Who are you, intruder?
Toronto Mike in the house.
Oh my goodness. What's going on, Mike? What's going on?
Long time no see, Al. Yeah. I crashed a party yesterday.
Yeah, this is the second party you've crashed in 2 days. Thanks for joining us. I mean, first of all, it was great to see you last night, and you literally came in and heard us play the first song ever. I just finished talking about this, actually. The first song we've done in 3 years. So how did we sound? Be kind.
Well, I also took video, right? And then shared it on the app formerly known as Twitter. But mm-hmm. I thought it sounded pretty tight. And mm-hmm. I know Jarvis thought he was at like a rock and roll concert.
Yeah,
like,
your son was there. We got a picture of him with a guitar slung over his shoulder and everything. Yeah. So to what do we owe this surprise?
Well, you know, I crashed your party yesterday because I heard the Royal Pains were, by the way, who do we have here? Okay, I know Tanya.
Oh, okay. Let me introduce you. This is Jay, our buddy from Edmonton. He's one of our listeners, and he's joined us tonight because he's going to kick out some jams.
We'll go. Whoa. Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. But okay. So his name is Jay. Jay looks a lot like Bingo Bob Ouellette. Am I right?
You know what? Yeah. A little bit. Jay, you may not know who Bingo Bob is. He's like a radio personality here in Toronto. But, yeah. So of course Mike brings him up.
Yeah. Well, you know, and he's also sleeping on my couch around the corner. So
is he? You should invite him on.
All right. I don't want to crash the party for too long, but I did find out there was a Royal Pains reunion last night. So I went out to check it out and you did sound great.
Oh, thank you.
This is how big a supporter I am of yours, Al. I just want to reiterate that.
Appreciate you, Mike. Yeah.
And it wasn't long ago, even though Tanya faked a pink eye, I think. But
faked it, I wish.
It wasn't long ago that I had Victor, Matt, Tanya via Zoom, and you, Al, in the TMDS studio here.
Matt's going to be bummed that he missed you. He's going to join us in a little bit, but go on.
Okay, well, you guys were here December 2023, and we did a full episode. Like, even though I don't really care, I don't have great fondness for Letterkenny or Shoresy, even though I've taken a couple of runs at it. But still, I devoted an entire episode of Toronto Mike.
Yes, you did.
To the produce stand.
And by the way, YYZ Gord is on the live stream right now, and he says, hey, nice surprise guest. He says hi.
Well, I love that man, and he knows it, too. And let Tom know, mm-hmm. his better half, that I do have his Pamela Wall and Cat book.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to put that out there. Okay, so December 2023.
Yeah.
I like it really inside. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know that. But December 2023, episode 1401 was all about the produce stand and Letterkenny and Shoresy. And you guys got lasagna and mm-hmm. there was fresh craft beer for everybody. And there were measuring tapes. Like, this happened in December, right?
It did. Yes.
Okay. And as discussed many times on Toronto Mike, your podcast journey mm-hmm. essentially begins with a visit to this very basement I'm in right now.
You are the originator. You are the podfather. As much as our D-gens say, call me podfather, I defer to you. Yes.
Okay, so your podcast journey starts mm-hmm. here,
yes.
and you see how the Toronto Mike sausage gets made, and then you start to make your own sausage.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then you see the TMU, the Portuguese Toronto Mike sausage. Universe.
Yeah.
And the FOTMs, and then you're like, oh, I can do that with D-gens and a Discord server. And like all along, mm-hmm. I'm flattered.
Oh, and the live stream too. Like this was your live stream first, and now it's we're sharing it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Look, that's live.torontomike.com. Yeah. Hey, Ian, let's have that for the D-gens. Okay. Yes. So all along the way, I'm supportive. Mm-hmm. I'm having you on my show.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, this is where I'm building up to tell you that you've gone too far.
What?
Okay.
What are you talking about?
You've gone too far. What? I'm actually, and you know, YYZ Gord, who should be YYZ Gord, will tell you, I don't agree. Get pissed. I'm actually pissed right now. And what? I'm sorry, Tanya, you have to witness this because you're lovely. Okay. But Al, I'm pissed off.
What?
And I've been keeping it bottled up and then it simmers and then it leaks out in passive aggressive ways.
Why would you possibly be pissed? Why?
Because you're stealing
what
my kick out the jams.
Oh, come on, Mike.
Like, where did you get? Tell the listenership, tell the D-gens where you got the idea for kick out the jams.
I got it from you, and I've just finished before you joined
stole
us.
I
finished
it from me.
I didn't. Okay, we stood on your front stoop and we talked about this already. We had this conversation last week, and I asked your permission.
I begged.
Well, you did beg, but that was another story. But it's one thing to hear in principle, like, oh, we're going to kick out jams. And then to hear you promote it, because I heard a clip of you promoting it. And is that, that's this episode, like Al, yeah. not Al, you're Al, Jay from Edmonton. Edmonton,
by the
Al.
Way, Jay, yeah. did you know that Mike's wife is from Edmonton? He always, whenever he has somebody on his podcast from Edmonton, he always has to tell him about this.
Oh, nice.
Jay, do you know Matt Layden?
I do not. No, sorry.
Okay. Well, Jay, you're here to kick out the jams.
I don't know now. I don't want to get sued here. Is this,
I got Lauren Honickman on speed dial. I'm here. Oh, I don't want to crash the party.
You don't need to call your lawyer. Lauren doesn't need to be brought into this. Mike, is this a work or a shoot? What is this? I can't tell the difference.
I don't even know what those do. I look like Stu Stone? I don't know what those words mean. Okay. I'm here to tell you I'm pissed off because this is a bridge too far. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to just rip off this part. I'm going to replicate this. Kicking out the jams. That's my baby. You're kicking out the jams.
You know, Mike.
I'm pissed.
Look, I'm sorry, but you know, you didn't invent the whole playing music on podcast thing, right? Like that's been going on for a while now.
But why don't you call it playing music on podcasts?
Because I even got this going here.
Right now, it's time to
Mike's turning red.
Okay, I understand you've got a guest from Edmonton. Your beautiful wife is there. There's stuff going on for the D-gens. I'm just here to say I'm pissed off. If I find out you drop this episode, if you publish this jam-kicking episode, I think that's it for you and I.
Oh,
I'm
Mike,
just, I think that's it for us.
I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm sorry. But we spoke last week on this on your front's porch, and we talked about this, and you gave me your blessing. And really, I didn't need to ask you because, again, you didn't invent the concept of playing music on a podcast.
Oh, I've had enough. I've had enough.
Oh, and there he goes. He storms off. That was Toronto Mike. Wow.
Well, you should name it definitely something else.
Why?
Because that's his.
But that's not his clip.
That's not his. But we should call it play that funky music.
I love this. YYZ Gord. I assume Mike will stop cashing the Maneras checks. Take that, Mike. He'll never listen back to this either. Last week we chatted about this and he's like, I'm going to come on and I'm going to raise a stink and don't tell anybody. I'm like, okay, yeah, no problem. But yeah, that was just Mike having some fun. I promise you guys, Mike and I are okay.
You could have let us in on it. Why? I was getting quite concerned.
No, I know. That was the whole point. The only thing I'm sad about is that Matt wasn't here or Victor, because I would love to have heard like how they would have reacted.
Victor and him would have went ahead. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how. I think Victor would have just sat there silently and maybe even like, anyway. Jay, don't worry about it. Let's talk about your week now.
Well, sounds good, because I came here for pleasure, but I thought for a second there I was going to turn to business real quick.
So no.
Good to hear that it was all a shoot.
It's a shoot. Yeah, I can never get those two things straightened out, work or shoot. So that's a shoot when it's okay. And work is when it's true.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
So, no, my week was pretty busy coming off kind of last week was more busy, I guess, back-to-back Letterkenny Presents shows.
Calgary. Yeah, that's awesome.
And then I went right back to Calgary last weekend again to help my sister move. So I've been pretty busy over the last couple of weeks. It'll be nice to have a weekend this weekend where I don't have to do anything. So
yeah,
that'll be good.
Well, next week we're going to have a Letterkenny Presents wrap up, and hopefully you'll be back on for that, because I've invited all of our DGen listeners who have gone out to the shows to come on for that. And are you going to be able to join us next week?
I think so. Yeah.
Perfect. So
I really want to hear everyone else's kind of opinions and feedback from what they got from their show, because I've heard it from everybody, but like it was phenomenal. Like both shows were excellent, and I kind of want to hear what everyone else got out of it as well.
Okay, so you're rating it afresh. Both shows are fresh.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. So we'll leave that to next week. But tonight, again, like I said, we're here to kick out the jams despite protestations from Mike, Toronto Mike. So let's get going with that, shall we?
Previously on Letterkenny.
Last week, Cassie and Trace joined us to kick out their top 10 Letterkenny villains, and a lot of discussion ensued over their number one pick. It got almost as tense as this little meeting we had with Mike just a little while ago. It was a very spirited after-party conversation. If you haven't heard it, you should. This week, our buddy Jay from Edmonton joins us to kick out his favorite songs from Letterkenny. So here we go.
Well, don't bore us. Get to the chorus.
Now, Jay, I'm going to ask you, first of all, how did you put this list together? Like, did you already have like most of these songs, you know, in mind, or did you actually go through the entire series again and pick them?
Well, like what I tried to do is, well, I think everybody knows music's a very important part of the Letterkenny Shoresy universe. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a passion of Mr. Kiso that he gets his hands dirty and wants to be a part of every decision that's made. I'm always kind of stunned at how often, like, either the music fits the scene or even the part of the song hits the scene at the right time. Mark Forward actually said in our meet and greet that, like, Jared's 100% in control of that, down to that, mm-hmm. queuing up a song to hit the chorus right during a part. Like, he's probably more involved in that than most show creators are.
Yeah.
But I tried to pick tunes that are good, but more so ones that fit the scene they're in perfectly. So I've left a lot of really good songs on the sidelines, but I think I picked ones that were just really iconic for me as I watched the show. And as soon as that song plays, I know exactly where in the show it played. So that's kind of how I got my list.
All right, cool. So we're going to get this party started. Now, you gave them to me in an order. So that's the order I'm going to go in. Was that kind of the order of, like, from number 10 to number one? Number one is your absolute favorite then? Is that how you rank them?
Yeah, that's how I put it together.
Okay, perfect. So let's listen. How we're going to do this is, I'm going to start playing the song. We'll listen to it until maybe the first chorus, and then I'll bring it down and we'll talk about it. All right. So here's your number 10 favorite song from Letterkenny. Take No Sides from Relations. Now from season 12, episode 1, correct? Well, hold on a second. This is a little loud still. Let me try to bring it down a bit. Oh, is that going to interrupt the stream? Let's see. It's going to interrupt the stream. Damn it. I should have ironed this out before having you on. Hold on one second here. Try to get this lower here. Oh, such an amateur hour. All right. Anyway, that was Take No Sides by Relations. It's a bit better. Tell me, why did you pick this song to be your number 10?
Well, it's the song plays obviously when a lot of the cast was dancing at the end of the Live at Modine's episode.
Right.
It was kind of emotional to watch because, like, my favorite scenes of Leonard Kenny are usually when the bulk of the cast is involved, when most of the people are all in kind of the same shot.
Yeah.
And then we knew that this was it because we knew that they'd declared that this was going to be the final season. So you're kind of watching that, and all you can think about is that this could be the last time that we see them like this.
Yeah.
So it kind of just hit home a little bit emotionally because, like, you kind of saw how they were with Bonnie and Glenn and Katie and Riley and Jonesy. And they're all just kind of like, it just feels like they're saying goodbye to each other at the same time as having fun in an episode.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry about that. Again, I'm trying to adjust these levels here. Jeremy on the live stream, can anyone listen to this and not do the Riley and Jonesy dance? So that's definitely, yeah, the scene is forever etched in my mind as well. But it's a great song. Now, did you look up Relations? Do you know anything about this band?
I know that song was released in 2014, but I think the key thing that I notice is that this seems like it's Kiso just flexing on all of us.
Right.
When I watched this episode, I ran straight to Spotify to try to find this band. And the day I watched it, they had 221 monthly listeners, which if you know anything about Spotify, that's almost impossible.
Right.
As of last week, it was up to about 5,200 monthly listeners. So I'm thinking that's almost 100% Letterkenny or me, because I've listened to that song about 1,000 times since then.
So, yeah.
Like, I'd obviously never heard of this band. I don't think people in this band had ever heard of it. They're so obscure. So that's like a great track from that.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess they've got the Kiso bump, same as our podcast when we had them on, but definitely. And they are from a band from New York. So they're an American band. So not all are Canadian. I think we're going to learn about that here too, that he does he doesn't just listen to Canadian music, but definitely a great pick. Let's see here. Oh, just play the whole damn thing. It's a great song. Yeah, sorry about that. I was trying to get the levels because I want to make sure we could hear Jay over the music. So I'm going to do something different here for the second one. So here's your number 9 pick. Here we go. Oh, that's not what I wanted to do. Come on. Number 9 pick is open with Windows Media Player. Yes. There we go. I love this song. Listen to the sound of a new tomorrow. Take over my dreams, walk into the That is Do It, Try It by M83. I love that song. It sounds so nice, especially in the headphones. I hope it's sounding good in or on your end. So why'd you pick this one?
Well, it's obviously that song's played during the really long montage that starts with the Debiers dancing outside of Modine's and ends with the entire crew running into...
Oh, that's
up,
right. Yeah, this is the... That's
beat up old LD Dirks there.
Mm-hmm.
I always think it's like this, that song bridges that entire show where it literally starts playing right after McMurray and Mrs. McMurray are talking about the little golf clap with his manhood bouncing off his thighs.
That's right.
And then ends in maybe the most intense scene of the entire show. So it's like, it's just in a hilarious way that they, how the show has always been, but it's just kind of neat to see it kind of bridged like that by music.
Yeah, you wonder, because it is like part of probably one of the more iconic montages on Letterkenny. I can't think of one more iconic than that, like that people bring up over and over again. And you're right. It spans that entire story, right? From them leaving Daybeer's Day to end, like showing up at Dirk's place to beat the shit out of him. And yeah, it feels like he picks the music first and then they edit the scene according to the song, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just the song has so many different kind of tempo changes that it matches the what we're seeing perfectly. It's Katie at the chip truck being sad on the way down, kind of wondering where he's at. Everyone coming in all angry at the end. The song picks up again. Like, it's just perfect pacing.
Yeah, for sure. Now, this is by M83, like I said, and they're from France, Antibes, France. Again, like Jared, he doesn't just pick his Canadian bands. This one here is kind of from left field. Did you learn anything about this band?
I knew about this band a little bit from before.
Oh, yeah.
And even people, if they don't know this band, I'm sure they know the song Midnight City.
Okay.
Because that gets played in commercials, TV shows, movies. Like, it's got a lot of plays. So.
Right. It's such a great, lush sounding with all the synths and stuff. And yeah, it's really well done. Yeah, and then that's how the end fades to black during that scene. Amazing. Great pick. I love it. Tanya, what do you think of that one?
Yeah, it you can almost watch the show just listening to the song and how that plays out and how the tempo changes and how it's a musical.
Yeah.
Letterkenny is a musical. Let's just say that, right? Like, the way music is used and how it's integrated and how it's timed and placed perfectly within the scenes is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
I was trying to find here more stuff on this band on Wikipedia. Can't find Do It, Try It. It's almost like he picked an obscure track from their library too. Which one was the one you mentioned that most people will know?
Midnight City.
Midnight City. I don't see it here, but great sound, great band. All right, let's listen to number 8 here. By Pigeonhole. Now, when you submitted this, when I listened back to it, I'm like, I don't remember this. And this was in episode 1, season 1. And then, but then the howling started. I'm like, oh, yes. Yeah, now I remember. It's quite the pick you got there. What is it about this one you like?
Well, I just felt that this song kind of hits I kind of labeled this one on my notes here. I'm like, you got to set the tone. And that's what I feel like this song does for Letterkenny. You watch the first episode of this show and you're kind of like, what the hell is this show even? Like, it's funny, yeah. But it's like rural. So you're kind of putting it in a box a little bit. But then this song kicks on after Wayne kind of reestablishes his toughest guy in Letterkenny credentials. He has that goofy grin at the end of the episode when he kind of scares Hockey away. And you're just kind of like, this show is going to subvert expectations or preconceptions of what you think about rural life. Because most shows featuring Hicks wouldn't end with like a pretty hard hip hop song. So
right.
I just kind of appreciated the juxtaposition, I guess, of that song with what I thought that show might be about.
Yeah.
And it's just, it stayed that way for 12 seasons.
It absolutely did, yeah. You're right. It's a hard-hitting hip-hop. Do you know anything about this band or group called Pigeonhole?
No, I had not heard about this band before Letterkenny.
Mm-hmm. Now, they are Canadian from Victoria, B.C., a duo from... They started in 2000, so they've been around a bit, but... they've got a MySpace and SoundCloud page. That's how long they've been around. So, this one's from an album called Chimp Blood, too. So, what do you think of that? I know you're.
I didn't remember, but as soon as you were saying, because we just recently saw that clip, I feel.
Yeah.
Where he had punched. Oh my gosh, what was her name?
Or Angie's.
Angie's. Whatever boyfriend that was. Good scene.
Nice cross mix of genres too, so well done. All right, so we are humming along. Poor Matt's missing all this great
Jay
stuff.
I love your picks so far.
Yeah, so far they've been great.
This is amazing.
Before we start the next one, I mean, what would be like your preferred genre? Like, if you want to kick back and listen to music, you know, what would you normally put on?
I'm kind of all over the map, but I usually lean towards most indie. So like my favorite bands are like The National, Vampire Weekend, that kind of genre. I used to be really big into hip hop in the 90s. So I kind of covered those bases too.
Right.
But that's about it. I'm pretty loose. I'm ready to jump into just about anything. I don't really care for country. That's about the only thing that I really don't listen to.
How tough is that in Edmonton? Because let me tell you, I was just in Calgary a few weeks ago, and I got my fill.
Yeah, no, that's a Calgary thing.
Yeah.
That's not
Edmonton? Edmonton. All right.
No, we're not.
Interesting.
We're not so deep into the ranch lands like they are down there.
Okay. Good to know. Because I mean, I will be visiting Edmonton eventually, hopefully with the podcast. So now I know that... And we'll have to have a beer or whatever. You can take me out and see some good live music. Do you get out to watch live music a lot?
Yeah, as often as I can. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. You got like a good bar scene there for a band?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot to begin with, and then COVID kind of killed the remainder. So there's only really tiny venues or... Rogers Place. That's kind of all we have now. So
that's too
bad. Or they're at the Windspear Jubilee. Like there are some kind of medium ones, but not that 200 and less or 300 and less people kind of place.
Right. Well, what about kind of like outside of Edmonton? Because the same thing kind of happened in here. Like Toronto, a lot of the venues shut down, like to the point where it's hard to get a gig in Toronto anymore because there are fewer venues, but still the same number of bands. But like we play like an hour north of the city and it's a pretty good scene up there.
Nice.
But
yeah, outside of like, there's not much outside of Edmonton either. Like the nearest larger city would be Calgary. So there's not a lot going on for live music in my neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of tours from like the big artists, but we don't see a lot of local.
Right. All right, let's listen to your number 7. I love this one. I mean, they're all great picks, but this one here is a lot of fun too. Bring this up a bit.
I'm a big girl, man.
I love
this. I'm a big girl, man. I'm a big girl, man. I'm a big girl, man. This my food I want.
All right, that is DJ Donna Summer with Such Language. Okay, what part of Letterkenny's is from?
So it's the song that plays when Stuart comes home from the failed rave at the Egg Hall.
All right.
And he commits to making Letterkenny the biggest meth hound.
Mm-hmm.
I picked this song, and this is kind of a personal anecdote, but I was my wife overheard it while I was watching this episode.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like Letterkenny. She doesn't ever express much of an interest in watching it.
Right.
But she comes into the room and she's asking me questions and stuff. And I was like, wow, here we go. This is this is what's going to turn her into a Letterkenny fan.
Yeah.
But instead, she says, I now know what kind of music I hate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then left. So I was like, okay, great. I guess it's not going to happen today.
That's okay. Well, that's good. Season one, episode five. So yeah, that's from Rave. This song, do you know anything about the artist?
I just knew it's a guy named Jason Forrest that performs under DJ Donna Summer.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to be like, that was going to be my mind blow. That's DJ Donna Summer is a dude named Jason Forrest.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a picture of him on Wikipedia. He looks like an interesting guy. Yeah, and so this is from an album called Panther Tracks, and he is from Fort Mill, South Carolina. So there you go. Interesting place to dig up music, especially this is called breakcore, I guess. But Jason Forrest is a record producer and DJ, and he goes under a bunch of different names, but DJ Donna Summer is one of them.
So how popular or well known is this song?
This one? I don't know. I mean, it's really catchy, right? But probably
where did Queso find this? That's what I want to know.
Oh, like, I bet you.
Where do you deep dive for a sound like this?
I bet you he has help from his buddy Trevor Risk for this kind of stuff. Like, I'm sure this is the kind of stuff Risk would have on his, you know, in his record collection or whatever, hard drive. But they work together in bars in Vancouver, right? So yeah, this is probably some, because this is from 2008. So this is a pretty, you know, almost, what is that, 15-year-old track?
I don't remember where this was in the episode. Oh, you were saying.
Say after the rave.
After the rave.
Yeah. And I remember that scene. And then the camera goes right into Stuart and he's like, I'm going to destroy Letterkenny or whatever he says. Oh, what does he say, Jay? Is it?
Something like, I'm going to turn Letterkenny into the biggest meth town in the world or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Are most of the catchy songs at the end of an episode, like where it really kind of sticks the landing and like really makes the biggest impact? Yeah.
I think he probably saves the big epic songs like this, like the one we just heard before this one, for the montages, for the ends, for the, you know, the hard hitting kind of. Yeah, I think when you fade to black, you want to leave somebody with the viewer with a lasting impression. And this one here, it's like this kind of driving beat, but then you hit I'm a big girl now, and it's just silly, right? It's fun. It makes it even funnier that's coming from a guy named Jason Forrest. Very cool. And we're almost at the end here, so let's let her play out here.
I love your story, Jay, about your wife coming into the room going, and that's what I don't like.
I was so hopeful for a second there, Tanya. So
I love that story.
Tanya can relate, I guess. Okay, here's...
There's not many genres I don't like. I do pretty much listen to everything.
Yeah.
I more so than both of you then, by the sounds of it, because I include country in
only
my
country
list.
The only one that I don't listen to is country. Everything else is fair game.
But you have to appreciate Sundarts, right? You both do.
I appreciate that they succeeded
was the best episode ever, because really it did mock country music. Mm-hmm. and what the sequences of the words that need to be used in order to make
that
a
whiteboard.
that was wonderful.
All right.
I appreciate Blue Rodeo. I think that's what,
yeah.
I
love Blue Rodeo. I'm unabashedly a Blue Rodeo fan, but I don't consider them straight country. I think they're more of a roots rock.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
You make it what you want to.
No, I'm serious. I don't, because they don't sing about having beers on the pickup. No, they sing. They're poets. They're I don't know. Anyway, let's listen to the next. Here's number six. OCM. Oh, wait, Matt's coming back in. All right, let's bring him in during OCM.
Perfect timing.
And Matt's doing a little dance. Yeah. He's getting into it now. All right. All right. OCM by Susan Aglukkar. Talk about this pick, Jay.
Well, this song obviously was the default option for Rold when he had to play the warm-up tune when Stewart had his meltdown and Dickens was pushing for a boogie. So
yeah,
it was perfect to me because, like, as we've talked before, there's probably never been a more Canadian TV show ever.
Right.
And Susan Aglukkar, OCM would not have been played in any other television show that's ever happened. And it just fits the Letterkenny Shoresy, like, mission statement, I guess. She's an Inuit artist. She's a multiple, like, Juno Award winner, which to the non-Canadians is a Canadian Grammy, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And it's just another nice slice of Canadiana in a show littered with it. And it's, like, the inclusion of this song was just perfect for the scene. And then it actually kind of ended up working, and then they did it again the next time the Irish played. So I thought that was even better when they doubled down on it.
I'm a big fan of this song. I remember when it was first out in 95. It got heavy airplay on Much Music. So and back then, so this is from 1995, and yet, like you said, Jay, season 7, episode 5, Susan Aglukkar. She's from Churchill, Manitoba. So we have our first Manitoba artist here. But I mean, this song was pretty big in Canada, right? I'm looking at the Wikipedia here, and it says it reached number 3 in Canada top singles, number 1 in Canada adult contemporary, and the country charts too. It reached number 1 in Canada. It doesn't look like it charted anywhere else in the world, but it's because it was like you said, it's kind of a genuinely Canadian song. Or specifically Canadian song, but I love it. I always did. And she got like a lot of, recognition and a lot of kudos because of, I think that was like the first time we saw kind of Indigenous representation on the pop charts. That wasn't, what's her name? Buffy, right? So, yeah, I love this pick. Matt, welcome.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late.
You have no idea what you missed.
I know. I'm so disappointed.
It was for a good reason.
I'm not going to apologize.
Don't apologize.
I wish I could have been here. It was just a crazy day.
Yeah.
But I definitely wanted to hang out and have a drink with my old man.
Yeah.
Before I came and joined you, D-Gens. So
did I explain off the top why Matt couldn't join us? I can't remember now.
I don't know.
Yes, you did.
I hope so. Okay, good.
Okay.
But yeah. So this is Jay's number 6 pick. OCM, what do you think of this song?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a great one to join. Mm-hmm. It made me happy right away. You saw me getting into it. I mean, am I wildly familiar with the background, everything about it? No, but am I aware that this is Canadiana at its finest? Absolutely. So yeah, it felt like a very, it's like my entrance music today, and I'm okay with that. So I'll take it. It's funny before, as I was off just hanging out with my old man having a drink, he was telling me some story. I'm going completely off bar here, but
that's right.
It felt relevant.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was ex-RCMP, and he was telling some story how one time he actually almost got fired because he and a bunch of friends played a joke where, and why this is relevant to everything, is a friend of his used to play for the junior team for the Montreal Canadiens. Mm-hmm. Lyle Carter was his name. He played for a few other teams. But one of the guys on his team was Blake Ball, who was in Slapshot.
Oh.
He played an uncredited character named Gilmore Tuttle. Anyways, what's that?
He's one of the goons that the team brings in to fight the Chiefs.
You got it. So, and he's a big dude. So there was a whole joke at the time where my dad got asked to come in and fake arrest Blake Ball. And Blake was in on it. And my dad would tell him this whole story, how there's like, you got to be careful because he didn't know who was in on it and who wasn't in on it. And there was a couple guys on the team at the time who were highly protective over their own players. And my dad was warned to be, you know, if they start getting out of hand, we'll jump in and reveal the joke because they might try to stop you. And
it's funny you bring so that
it was
up,
all but... right. It was a whole ordeal. And then I guess what happened was after they took him away, or my dad took the guy away and put him in his car, he found out the GM was on the phone with the league saying, "Hey, just a heads up, one of our players just got arrested." And my dad's like, whoa, hold on. This was all a joke. We're just kidding. But anyways, because we were talking, he was asking about the podcast and he asked if we covered Shorzy. And I said, of course we covered Shorzy.
Yeah.
And that's what led us to Slapshot and down the path. So anyways, it was a fun little story he just shared with me, which I hadn't heard before.
And see, sometimes jokes go too far.
Right. So Matt, wait till you listen. Wait till you listen back to this episode tomorrow or whenever you will.
Oh, yeah,
there's something that happened that I'm sorry you weren't here for, but you'll have to. Jesus Christ. don't. But I mean, you'll love it. Anyway, so that was your number six. Jay, did you have anything else about OCM?
No, that was it.
We were talking about how they're really good at, you know, getting the music and then matching the visuals to the music. This one here is one of those cases, though, where the music is completely opposite what you would expect for a scene like that, right? When the players are taking the ice, you're expecting some hard rock or some like jock rock or dance music or whatever, or no limits or whatever, you know, and instead you get them all coming onto the ice to the beginning of OCM, which is like this world music kind of slow building swelling kind of thing, right? Which is I think is really hilarious. They do that a few times too. Like I remember on Shorzy anyway, during the big brawl, they play that that Born to Be Alive, that disco song during a big brawl. Like it's
that was one of the best uses of music anywhere was that song. Side note, Jay, I love your shirt, man.
Thanks.
I meant to say it earlier when I jumped on to read the limerick. I'm in love with you. What is on it though? I can't actually make it what they are, but I love
it's
it.
It's like anyway. Tiny little whales.
Oh, cool.
Fucking love it, man.
It's a whale of a shirt.
Awesome. You look good, bud.
Hey, thanks, man.
All right, Matt, you joined us halfway through here. We're at number five. And actually, you probably joined us at the right time because I remember you loving the use of this track. So let's listen to this one. Be here all day if we wait for a chorus, but
let it go.
No. Yeah, we'll have it in the background. But Jay, Mouth Guards of the Apocalypse by Broken Social Scene. Yeah, explain this one.
So they're one of my favorite bands and have been for 25 years probably now.
Wow.
Their second album, You Forgot It in People, is one of my favorite albums that I've ever had. So there was zero chance I wasn't going to be including them on my list.
Nice.
For those of you who aren't aware of Broken Social Scene, they're like it's kind of a pretentious thing, but they're a musical collective. They're not necessarily known as a band. Yeah. I've seen them live a couple of times and they'll have anywhere from 8 to 14 people on stage. Like they're multi-instrumental, two lead singers.
Yeah.
Yes, well, lead singers.
I'm looking them up on Wikipedia and yeah. Their list of members past and present is over 24.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're mainly Toronto based bands, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And lots of like maybe people that have spun out of this band might even be more famous, I guess, like Feist.
Oh, she was in there?
Yeah. And Metric.
Oh, Metric are awesome. I fucking love Metric. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Feist, and I can't remember the lead singer of Metric's name, but she's been linked with them before.
Yeah. No, solid pick.
So obviously this is the song that wraps up the whole series. Like it's very similar to the Debuters episode where it plays for the last 2-3 minutes of the show, and it's Roald and Stewart handing out the invitations, pauses during the everybody's locked out of the egg hall scene.
Yeah.
And then kicks back in for the dance, and even right through the location montage of photos at the end.
That's my favorite part. And we will play it right to the end because that part, when I was putting this together this afternoon, listening to that, I got shivers again because it's like, oh my God, that. Yeah.
I still think they need to do a coffee table book with those photos.
Yeah.
I would buy one on the spot.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So, yeah.
This is just one of those songs, like you said earlier, Al, where I'm sure Kiso heard this song and then just put it in his pocket. Like,
yeah,
that's going to be the finale, or that's going to be like an iconic scene in a show that he does at some point.
Because
it's just perfectly set up for it.
Yeah. This is from 2017. The album is called Hug of Thunder. It looks like it's the last album or the latest album.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. It's like operatic, like from beginning to end. It starts, it's a roller coaster, right?
Yeah.
And
it's funny you say that, because I think, I don't know if I mentioned this when we talked about the first time, it kind of had like a, and I know it's not the same in any way, but like a Bohemian Rhapsody kind of vibe where there's multi segments. And because I remember when I heard it, I actually thought it was three different songs.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, like watching the episode, I thought the same thing. Oh, this is an
interesting.
Yeah.
I kept looking for the song. I'm like, oh shit, it's all the same damn song, which quickly became one of my favorite songs. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's. This is the part where all the different scenes come up.
Turn it up. Turn it up.
It's a great way to end the series, and they're saying in the live stream too, yeah, this is Kiso's favorite band, and just it's epic. Like, that's the only word
that makes sense too, because season 11 ended with one of like that song that plays after they beat up Jive and Pete and the D-Gens and sitting in the dark at the produce stand.
That's
Brendan Canning, so he's the second lead vocalist of Broken Social Scene.
Where was he?
Song that played when Wayne and the crew beat up the Jive and Pete and the D-Gens at their place there, and then they went back to the produce stand and sat in the dark.
Yeah,
that was one of the guys from
Brendan Broken Canning. That name rings a bell. So, like, I think he comes up a few times in Letterkenny.
At least twice that I could see.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
And I know I said about the Shorzy song, but that. Hands down, might be the best use of music. I think I said this
every time I play a new song. Like, no, that's the best.
No. But I forgot about this until it played, and I'm like, and I got really emotional. Like, I listen to this music, this song, loud, in my car alone, and I love it, start to finish. I'm like, I just don't want. I should probably pull over because I get really into it. But this, hearing that, and then building an entire sequence against that. Oh my God, it's brilliant, and I fucking love that tune. So honestly, that probably would have been number one for me on the list. So I'm really excited to see what's next.
Yeah,
so I'm late to the party. I missed all the beginning. I'm really mad now.
Just looking at peak chart positions here for Broken Social Scene. Let's see. Like they didn't even, the first two albums didn't chart. In 2010, Forgiveness Rock Record made it to number one in Canada. And Hug of Thunder, which is this album, made it to as high as 14. And then like in the US, it did make like 34 and 96 respectively. So Yeah, I mean they're not a mainstream band, but man, they sound amazing. Like they sound really, really good. Great pick.
And they're a fantastic live
band. I bet. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I bet.
Yeah. I don't know, like I didn't know a lot about them before this, but you say you've been a fan, like a lifelong fan.
Yeah, for a long time. I'm surprised that their second album didn't chart in Canada, because that one has got a lot of, like, it was not frequently played on much music, but yeah, you would have seen it there for sure.
Well, it was certified gold, but just no charting in 2002. Okay. So I'm wondering, what, maybe there's that ugly transition period between pirated music and streaming, you know what I mean? That I think maybe didn't help them.
And I'm willing to bet, and maybe you can confirm this, Jay, like whenever these guys perform, it's, you never know what you're going to get, right? Because there's so many, and so many players dancing in and out of the group, is like the collective. Mm-hmm. So at any given concert, you could have different people there doing different songs and different riffs and runs and fun. And like, they're probably experiences, which did you say you'd seen them live?
Yeah, I've seen them a couple of times. Yeah.
Amazing.
If you've ever seen Arcade Fire live, it's very similar, where it's just there's so many people,
yeah,
and they can.
I was going to guess
multiple
that
instruments, and yeah, it's amazing.
Very cool. I wouldn't mind seeing Arcade Fire live, but yeah,
that'd be a fun one.
That would be a good. But this one too. Now that I'm I know about them, I would totally go see them live. All right, let's listen to your number four pick here. Spool it up. You may have to speak quickly about this one. Because as punk songs go, it's short, just like all of them. This is Hibernation by Blood on the Wall. Talk about these guys, Jay.
The band is it's they're almost as obscure as Relations are from song 10, like 1,400 monthly listeners on Spotify.
Oh wow.
So this is back to Tanya's point, like where does he find these tunes? Like it's amazing. This song is just, I love this episode, and I think that's what colors it for me. It's when the boys in the U.S. and Canadian military take on Elmo Adrianus Rensburg Van Cooverden for the first time.
Right.
Well done.
Yes.
That fight is so stupid, and I love it. Like, there's elbow drops and squirrely Dan running with a stool and forced chokes by Stuart. Like, it's utterly ridiculous, but it's just too much fun.
Amazing. This is from 2008, and like you said, season 9, episode 1. The album is called Lifers, and this is a New York band, New York, New York, USA.
Yeah, if I remember, it's like a husband wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very cool. Like a two piece, kind of like your next pick here, Death from Above.
Sounds like they're fighting.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Domestic.
That's how I knew they were married.
Yeah, they should have been called Domestic.
That's a great name for band.
And predictably, you can't have a punk song that's more than 2.5 minutes. That's just not right.
I don't think anyone could sustain that kind of energy for more than 2.5 minutes.
Right? They even have to, stretch it out with a little bit of guitar noise at the end to get to 2.5. And there you go. Well done. Good. But what'd you think of that one?
Tanya looks sick.
Tanya doesn't know. Well, you're going to love the next one then. speaking of hard-hitting two-piece bands, I'm a big fan of this one, though. Here we go. I'm
screen.
And if you couldn't make out what they're saying there, it's Pull Out by Death From Above, 1979. This might be one of the more mainstream picks that Kiso's used in, because Death From Above is definitely a big band. Talk about this pick, Jay.
Same as Broken Social Scene. I've been a fan of them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kiso also likes them because they've seen, I think there's a couple times in Shoresy, a couple times in Letterkenny.
Yeah.
He obviously is a fan of the band. The album that this song comes from, that You're a Woman, I'm a Machine, there's like four or five songs on that, that if you like this song at all, then you'll definitely want to listen to the rest of that album because it's in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
This, like, I think we all do this from time to time, but I can, like, I beat myself up about what my favorite episode of Letterkenny is.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually comes back to this one, the Letterkenny Spelling Bee. Same reason that I like most of my favorite ones, because it involves a lot of the cast that takes place in the same location. So I think that having all the Spelling Bee contestants walk out to this tune where it crescendos with Katie during the pullout chorus, it's just perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect music for the scene.
This one here is from 2004, and like you said, from season 5, episode 4, Spelling Bee.
Yep.
That's, and they are a Toronto band. Matt, are you familiar with them?
I'm familiar with them, but not, I would say, an active listener. But that song is just fire. Like that. Danny, I'm lucky. Are you enjoying yourself?
I am. Sorry, I'm super tired.
Yeah.
I feel like this is music that I have moments and moods where this would be absolutely on my playlist.
This would be in her cleaning the house playlist for sure.
Yeah.
not I'm mad at Al right now. Kind of.
No, playlist. No. This is my.
I'm not driving on the highway.
No, you definitely do not want.
Depends on where she's driving to or from, I think.
Yeah. Or get ready for this could have been my get ready for baseball playlist, like to get centered, right? Mm-hmm. Like
that song just hits so fucking hard though. Yeah. And it's just salt. I added that to my playlist like almost immediately when I heard that one, and it's just a constant winner.
Nice.
All right. Let's
Tanya, I think the next couple, Tanya, are gonna make you feel a little bit better.
Oh, absolutely. This one, I mean, we're going from Death From Above 1974 to this. To just pure joy.
Too much, you look Polish. Got a wicked sense of humor. I feel dizzy, and I want your touch. Let's get tipsy and start a rumor. I feel restless here. I can't sit still. Everybody at this party's got their fingers in the till. I bet their parents are ridiculously loaded. Let's get moving before I'm loaded. The dancers need a dance floor. The swingers got a swing. Fashionable people doing questionable things.
Fashionable People by Joel Plaskett Emergency. Talk about this one, Jay.
So obviously this song plays during the Century Club when they're drinking their shots of beer. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever done that before. Have you been in a Century Club Centurion before?
No, I can't say. I've tried it.
I'm in a.
I think I have. I don't know.
Then you probably were. If you can't remember, you're probably.
Well, it's one of those things I probably got coaxed into while I was already halfway into it, so it was extra messy.
Everyone's like, "No fair! You got a head start."
Every year, I'm in an annual. Well, that's what annual means, I guess. I'm in a golf tournament.
With air quotes. I just want to, for the listeners out there, he used air quotes.
Air quote golf tournament. It's a part. It's of the 2-day event, but we typically wrap it up with a poker game. But before the poker game, we do a centurion and a trivia thing, kind of while we're doing it.
Wait! You do it before you play poker?
Yeah.
Damn.
When's your next one?
Yeah.
Last week of September. Get yourself ready.
That might be perfect. That's a week after I do Tough Mudder, so I need a balance.
You need the opposite.
Right? I'm all in, man. You're in what, Alberta? Where are you, Alberta?
Yes, he's in Edmonton.
I'm coming to Alberta the third week of September.
That's funny.
The way that we do it, we use the 1-ounce plastic shot glasses, and that ends up being about 8 or 9 beers in 100 minutes. What we saw on the show, they were using like the full size shots, like that would be 1.5, 2 inches or 2 ounces for sure.
Right.
Like that would kill me. Like that would be 16 beer in 1.5 hours. Like that's not going to work for me. I can do the 1 ounce one pretty easily, but like that takes out a lot of the guys that are sub 200 pounds. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then how much do you put into the game when you're playing poker after that?
Right. Like I'm more worried about how much money you lose at poker.
Well, there's no buy-in. It's just part of the tournament. Like the overall tournament is for points. So it's just cumulative. So if you do well at the Centurion, chances are you're not going to do well at the poker.
This is the best thing ever. I'm in. Is there an exclusive invite? Is there a sorting hat or something I need to
be
part of?
Not at all. Anyone who wants to come.
Sorting hat. Where are you going, to Harry Potter?
Yeah, we were watching Deadpool 2 yesterday. They made a sorting hat reference, and now it's all I'm hearing in my head.
So before Letterkenny, were you aware of Joel Plaskett or this song?
Not this song, but yes, Joel Plaskett for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely kind of well-known, kind of a Canadian songwriter for sure. But I was only familiar with his name, didn't know of any songs, and definitely didn't know this song. But as soon as it was used in that scene in Letterkenny, it shot up to being one of my favorite songs from Letterkenny. So I love this pick. What about you?
Oh, yeah. It's just a fun poppy, like, just slaps a smile on your face.
Like, it's a little too quirky for my band to do it, sadly, because I would love to perform this one live. But it's got a lot of... Anyway, quirk to it. What about you, Matt? Were you familiar with Joel Plaskett or
by name, not by music, but
he's a fellow Nova Scotian.
Yeah, definitely familiar with the name, not overly familiar with the music. This song. So I don't know if I've ever I love music, like many do. I am not great with lyrics. I can't retain lyrics very well. I can't remember them. So what I'm drawn to with music is the feel and the sound and even the vocals, like the sound of the vocals.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's just how I digest music. This one, that beat got me immediately. Mm-hmm. It was another one that I added almost immediately to my playlist. Cause I'm like, that is just fun to listen to.
Yeah.
It gets me moving. You say quirky, but I would love to hear your band do this. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And if you need a backup, guy, you know, this guy. Sorry, I had a triple before I started this.
It's all good. Yeah. 2007, and the album's called Ashtray Rock. And as I had mentioned, he is from Lunenburg, Nova Scotia.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm. We've been there.
Yes, we have.
That is a beautiful fucking place.
It's so beautiful.
Very, very picturesque town. Have you?
We came home.
If you've got a dime on the back of the dime, the Blue Nose is.
That's right.
The Blue Nose too.
So yeah. We saw it.
Yeah, we saw the schooner while we were there. I mean, the walking through the town is like walking in a postcard. It's like colorful buildings overlooking the ocean and
friendliest bunch of people.
Home of the Blue Nose and friendly people. Loved Lunenburg.
We have a fishing crate in our living room that we use to store random shit that we brought back from Lunenburg. So when we were there with the kids years ago and Jen, we found it in a thrift shop there and bought it. And It was a weird scene. People were laughing. We were literally like walking through the streets of Lunenburg with this big, and it's not small. It's like 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet, big ass crate that we're hauling through the streets of Lunenburg. And then we somehow got it back to Ontario, and now it's in our living
room. Somehow. I don't know how you do that, but in your bio, Jay, you say you like travel. Like where have you been?
Like overseas or just anywhere?
Anywhere. Yeah. Like even within Canada, like have you been to like Lunenburg or?
Yeah. We're in I've actually been to Lunenburg twice. The only province I've never been to is Newfoundland. Mm-hmm. And like throughout the States, I've probably been to roughly 20, 25 different states just for work and for pleasure.
Very cool.
And obviously some overseas trips as well.
Nice.
Now, I'm not gored. Like that's for
no one is
like
gored.
Get away as much as I can.
Victor's trying to be, but no one is gored.
What would you consider the most exotic place you've been to?
I went to Denmark 6 years ago.
Nice.
I thought that was pretty cool. We went for the World Championship hockey that year. So.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling us about that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's probably the oddest place I've been, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're at your number one song now, and I can't wait to play this because I completely 100% agree with this pick. So let's, without further ado, and I think Victor would also agree with this pick if he were here. It is not extreme, but it's...
I don't remember any extreme being on the roster.
But here we go. It is Bossa Nova. It is French-Canadian Bossa Nova.
Oh, yeah.
Such a beautiful, beautiful song. Musicien parmi tant d'autres by Harmonium.
Jay, thanks for taking the name of that one.
You're welcome. Talk about it.
I was going to say, I didn't want to say the title of that song because to steal a line from Wayne, je parle français, mauvais.
Yeah, me too.
So it's obviously that's the song that plays after the Letterkenny crew helped the French Hicks there take out the Laval D-Gens.
Mm-hmm.
So much goes on during that scene. And like we were talking for all of this, it's the music sets the tone. It's obviously a song in French. The scene is in Quebec. It just kind of like perfectly sets up what's going on there. And it's, you see Darien and Nick share a dance and Darien's super happy. And we don't see that a lot. Katie and Titty Bank pair up.
Titty Bank.
And then I thought this scene was, it's kind of one of the most genuine scenes in the whole series is Wayne Wallflower, just kind of back against the wall, watching what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
JB and Tyson see him over there and they bring him some shots and get him involved. And it kind of leads to him meeting Marie Fred after her kind of hero entrance. And he doesn't even slow down to take part in the fight on his way to meet her for the first time.
Yeah, so he just walks through the mayhem. And
it was just perfect. Well, and the song is awesome. I would have, obviously I've never heard that song before Letterkenny, and it's just perfectly played, perfectly timed.
Agreed. Matt, what do you think of this pick? Is this your new favorite pick?
No. Ah, funny. No, it's a great tune, though.
Yeah, it is.
Smart ass.
You awesome, sounded awesome. Like animal. Ah, find me.
Find me. That's fair. No, awesome called it out good. She's like, hands down, this montage is the best storytelling Letterkenny ever did. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that's a very fair statement.
Mm-hmm.
this is one of those times where they just need to run the music and play the scene, and it just came together beautifully. Great choice. Mm-hmm. Like that's really it. It's a fantastic choice. Nothing I would have ever heard outside of this show, but am glad I was exposed to this and get to enjoy this on the regular now.
What about you, Ted?
I challenge your wife not to like this one.
Right? Yeah. Play this for your wife.
It's just such a beautiful song and so perfectly placed in the show, just like you guys are saying. It's such a gorgeous song. Mm-hmm. Really, really is.
Harmonium from Montreal, Quebec. This song's from 1974. This song's a year older than I am. Like
Do we know what the translation is?
A musician amongst many others.
There you go. And this isn't even so. There's an interesting. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. There's a National Film Board documentary shot about this band only like 8 years ago. A tour that they, well, it wasn't necessarily a tour, but they went and played a few shows down in Berkeley, in San Francisco, and in L.A. And this is kind of telling the story of like this band from Quebec that apparently was pretty big deal in all of Canada at the time. Like I think they sold 150 or around 150,000 copies of their album, which for Canada is a lot. And for especially for an artist that doesn't sing in English, and they went down to L.A. to San Francisco to play these shows to an American audience, and there's their way to try to break into the U.S. and they weren't sure whether they would be accepted because they're a band that doesn't sing in English. Anyway, it's only a half hour doc by the National Film Board. It's really interesting. Got to see a little bit more about the band, and it's another one of these bands. It's like there's like 15 members. Like amazing musicians, kind of like Arcade Fire, kind of like Broken Social Scene. But they were huge. They were huge in Quebec back in the day and kind of big in Canada too, just before I was born. So I don't remember it, but, and this song isn't even like in the documentary, it was never played. So I feel like this is a deep cut from of theirs instead of, which is weird because to me, it's a, just a gorgeous, gorgeous song. We're getting to the end here. Matt?
Just enjoying it. I'm just taking it. I move. I
wash over you. During the pandemic, I was recording myself playing some covers of songs and stuff like that and posting them to Twitter and stuff. I tried this song. And I got as far as playing that last chorus, but A, my French sucks, and B, it's such a complex song to play on guitar, and I'm a crappy guitarist, but it's such a beautiful song.
You should do a duet with Victor.
Yeah, well, if he could play it, yeah. But then I still have to sing it in French.
Sing it in Portuguese. There you go.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Nice ending.
Yeah, great picks, Jay.
Now I'm upset I missed the first half because that was a really good back half.
Yeah, the first half
is. Let's do great. It again. Just start them over. Let's do the second half all over again, guys.
I'm in
you
a band.
Pick another 10.
I'm in a band. I know you should never play the same song twice in a night. That shows that you don't have enough songs in your.
if it matters for me, it's the first. Yeah. So
it's all selfish. About you. It's all about you.
It's all about I'm selfish as shit.
Oh, wait till you listen back to this, though, Matt. Wait till you listen. I'm going to start with just kind of with closing remarks. Jay, thank you for being the guinea pig for the first TPS Kick Out the Jam episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope the people who are listening enjoyed it. I love doing this because, like I said before, when Mike does this, he always does, he does an interview and then he does a Kick Out the Jams, and you often learn more about the person when you find out the music that they love, right? In this case, it isn't, your top 10 favorite songs, but it is your top 10 favorite Letterkenny songs. And I think we learned a little bit more about you today. So appreciate you volunteering for being the first. I hope to do this again with other DJs. I am going to probably restrict it, though, so that we're not always playing the same songs over and over. I'm going to keep a spreadsheet. Daniel, don't get too excited. Yay. And I'm going to ask if anyone wants to do this, I'm going to challenge them to try to pick different songs and talk about different songs.
We should allow, two crossovers.
Yeah, I think we shouldn't be cruel about it. Yeah, allow maybe one or two. But for the most part, we want to hear, of all the different music. Because, again, another strength of this show is the music, and we want to celebrate that, right? Tanya.
Jay, you brought so much insight. Again, I love the deep dives, and music is such a big part of Letterkenny and the whole universe. This was fantastic. Really well done. Thank you for bringing all the notes and sharing what you felt about all the music and how you made me look at things in a different way. And I always love that and appreciate that. So thank you so much. Alan, you should really think about renaming what this night is. Because even if it's a joke, it's still not nice. So maybe we can call it something else. Maybe something universe related. That would be great.
Matt's confused right now.
And I think back to Jared Kiso and wow, dude has a huge music collection. Mm-hmm. And even in some of those songs, I'm like, I can almost hear him singing that song. Like his voice and what his he could probably pull off. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like he's the trifecta of music and
triple threat. You think he can sing? He can drum, but I don't know.
I wonder if he can dance.
He can sway with his thumbs again. Hooked in the loop of his jeans. He can sway. I don't know if he can. Anyway, Tobias on the live stream says he enjoyed it. Thank you, Tobias, for listening. Yeah, Matt, what about you?
Yeah, so I'll base my comments on half because that's all I was here for. Mm-hmm. So I apologize, Jay. This is great. I hope we do this again, and we should do this again. The insight, like Tanya said, the insight. You set a high bar for anyone who wants to step up and do another round of this because you brought a lot of things. You had the facts at the ready. Almost any question that was asked, you had an answer for where it came from, who did it, why. And I really appreciate that. I think that's it's great in a scenario like this when we're really celebrating the music to understand where it's coming from, why it's there. And again, your own personal interests in it are obviously just as important. So fantastic stuff. I can't wait to listen back because clearly I missed some shit. but I had the old man here and I'm going to go have another drink with him when I'm done. And this was so much fun. So I can't wait to do it again, guys.
All right. And Jay, you get the last word, bud.
Well, I guess thanks a lot for letting me be the guinea pig for this. It was a lot of fun putting the list together. It was more difficult than you would think potentially. I looked at this list all day today and I can't believe I left this off the list. I can't believe I don't have that on there. Yeah. So you're second guessing yourself the whole time. But sure. Like I said, to kick it off, I tried to pick ones that maybe fit the mood and the show and some of the other songs that I love and might even listen to more than some of the ones on this list. I might not remember where they came from. You know what I mean? Like, that's a great song. I learned about it through Letterkenny, but do I remember the exact scene in the show where it came from? Maybe not. So it's a lot of fun to put this together. And I did the research because I didn't want to fall on my face because I wanted you guys to be able to keep doing this with other people because I think this is a great idea.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I'm glad I thought of it.
as far as I know, you did. So we're glad good.
I'm glad. Thanks, Mike. This completely original idea that no one has ever done before.
Shout out to Toronto, Mike. Thank you for visiting us tonight and for
who?
Tanya's really this worried. Toronto.
This is Newmarket Al.
It was a shoot. It was a shoot or a work. Which one is it?
Toronto, Mike.
I said it wrong. So the work is fake and the shoot is real.
Oh. Interesting.
I got corrected in the chat by Jeff, so I was wrong when I said that earlier.
All right. And you know what? Thank you for being the guinea pig because I also got to iron out some of the the way this thing was going to flow. Apologies. That first song was kind of a write-off because I was trying to do it one way. But now that I know how we're going to do it from here on end, it's going to be much smoother. So once again, thank you for being the guinea pig. And I'm going to play us off here.
I was going to do this.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. There you go. So it sounds like I missed the shit show at the beginning. Yeah. Which I'm okay with, guys.
It's a bit of a shit show. Anyway, I'm going to play us off here with this song we all like, and I've been using it as our closing song now for the last few episodes. So here we go. Your Man by Joji.
Oh, this is my top.
Yeah, but this is a Shorzy song, I think.
I know. This is awesome. I think I play this daily now.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah, you really love this song.
Have you ever loved? Would you go again? Don't be down when it's over, baby. Yeah. I'll be your man. Oh, man. Have you ever loved?
All right, and that's all we have for this episode. Next week, we're going to put a wrap on the Letterkenny Presents comedy tour by having a bunch of our listeners on who attended the shows to talk about it. Should be a great time. I think Jay's coming back for that, and a bunch of our other DJs will join us. If you'd like to support the podcast, become a patron or tell a friend. Also, follow us on most social media outlets at ProtoSamPod. Thank you for listening. And now we're going to discuss tonight's picks with the DJs in the after party. On behalf of Jay, Tanya, Matt, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a great week.